You should open up your Bibles this morning to Matthew chapter 16 as we celebrate this Easter Sunday. What a glorious day that it is. We had a great time out in the pavilion. Richard was talking about some hymns that we did out there that spoke about resurrection and the Lord's resurrection today. And we had a good time of reading the Easter story, the resurrection story. A time of singing and also a time of fellowship. I want to thank Terry Ford for all that she did to get all that ready for us this morning, the coffee and the danishes and stuff. Would you give her a thanks for that? Yeah. Amen. And also, Matt, thank you, Matthew Clark, for playing the guitar with your frozen fingers. I appreciate that. And we had a good time out there. Amen. So as last week we looked at the life of Jesus, and today we're going to also look at the life of Jesus. It was going to be a three-week series. It turned into a two-week series because the first week that I was going to do this, the Holy Spirit decided he was going to take us a different direction. And I didn't get to preach that message. So I preached it last week. So the three-week series turned into a two-week series. So I'm condensing the 2 weeks into one. So I hope that you're not having anything ready to go until about 1 o'clock today, because this is where we're going to... I'm kidding. You guys looked at me like, I'm out of here at 12 no matter what. I'm gone. No, we'll get you guys out of here. We know you guys have plans and all. But I want us to continue to look at the life of Jesus. And there's one profound question. If I can condense the Word of God to one profound question, I think Jesus asked that question in our text this morning in Matthew chapter 16. I'm going to assume that there's three general types of people that are viewing or that are here today. That first group are those that say, I am a solid, locked in, firm believer of Jesus Christ. He is who he says that he is, and I'm in. I'm all in. You know, there's another group of people that are kind of like, you know, well, I believe that Jesus is God's son, but I'm kind of not real sure exactly the whole thing about all of his claims. I'm still kind of figuring this thing out. So I'm open, but, you know, don't push me. I'm good. So I'm here. So don't push it, right? And now here's the other group is, and you may be watching or you may be here today, where you're saying, you know, I'm just here because they've invited me here, and I'm going to get a free lunch after this, and I'm just here, you know? And I don't really believe in this whole God stuff, but I'm just, you know, I'm going to be here because it's Easter, and that's kind of what you do on Easter. So I get that, and so let's talk about that. And so regardless of the fact of what group or category that you're in, you're all here today. And so for the time that we have, I want you to open up your hearts. I want you to open up your minds. I want to speak to you about the claims that Jesus Christ made and the fact of why we're here today. We get all excited about these songs, you may be saying. Why are we so excited and jump up and down and hoop and holler because we talk about this guy who rose from the dead? Well, let's talk about him this morning and why we're so excited about that, right? So it's a very provocative question that Jesus asked while he was in his ministry. And he's actually asking his disciples this question. And so this very question that he's asking the disciples, he's also asking you and I today. If you will turn with me to Matthew chapter 16, we're going to go to verse 13. And it says this. It says, when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he turned and asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And so the disciples said, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. But then he pivoted and made it more precise. Not so much who do men say that I am, but here's the question that he asks the disciples that he's asking you and I this morning. And here it comes. Who do you say that I am? That's the question that Jesus asks all of us this morning. Whether you're viewing this from home or whether you're here today, that's the question that I would like us to answer. I can't really think of a more profound question in all of God's Word, can you? Than that question, who do you say that I am? And the reason that I say that that's the most profound, provocative question is because the life on earth that we live and our very eternity are directly impacted based on how we answer that question. You see, I believe that God will actually ask that question to each and every one of us individually. When we stand before, the Bible describes the judgment seat of Christ, there's going to be this place where it's just going to be you individually and God. Imagine that. No one else except you and God in this particular place that He has for each one of us. And God's got all the time in the world because He created time and He can make more of it if He needs to. Right? And so He's not in a hurry and He's going to get to each one of us individually. We're not going to come into a group. We're not going to answer the question as a group. We're not going to have someone answer it for us. It's going to be us that's going to have to answer this question. He's going to tweak it just a little bit. What He's going to ask is, what did you do with my son? It's the same idea. Jesus asked directly to you this morning, who do you say that I am? God the Father says, well, what did you do with my son one day? So for the sake of eternity, for the sake of your eternity, for your sake, for goodness sake, you better have the right answer to that question. So I say, let's make sure today that we have the right answer. How about it? So I want us to study our hearts today, and I want us to ask ourselves, if you will, some hard questions that will help us to determine who we say truly that Jesus is. And then if we don't like that answer, if maybe it's not the right answer, we need to make some adjustments necessary, because you see, we need to ace this one question test that God is going to give us on that final exam when we face Him one day, right? We need to ace it. It's a one question test, and the answer determines your eternity. So are you ready? Here we go. So who do you say Jesus is? Who do you say Jesus is? I want you to write that down if you're taking notes. Please don't just observe today. If you have a pen and a piece of paper, write it down. This is so important. There's going to be some things here today that maybe the Lord's going to speak to you, and you're going to forget it unless you write it down. The most important question, the most important thing you can write down is, who do you say Jesus is? You can write down, who do I say Jesus is? So we as believers in Christ, we say He's our Savior. Amen. We say He's our healer, our provider, our comforter, our constant companion. He's our guide. He's our soon coming King. And He's our Lord, among other things. And we would all say amen to that. And we would all agree with that. But I wonder actually how we walk that out. Because you see, here's some questions that I want to ask in response to your amens, in response to your agreement with me this morning. If we say that Jesus has saved us from our sins, then why do so many believers so many times run back to the very sins from which He's saved them? If we say that Jesus is our healer, why do believers so often rely on medicines and procedures as their go-to instead of their first go-to being God's healing power? I wonder. If Jesus is our provider, why do believers have so much credit card debt? You see, if Jesus is our comforter, why do believers embrace alcohol and drugs and wrong relationships to comfort them through tough times? I wonder. If Jesus is our constant companion, why do believers still frequent and view and listen to those things they know are unholy and destructive to their walk with Him, knowing that He's right there as they're doing it? If Jesus is our guide, why do believers seek advice and counsel from other people and sources that have no scriptural, godly wisdom and help in their time of decision? You see, if Jesus is our soon coming King, why do believers live their lives like He's never going to come? If Jesus is truly our Lord, why haven't believers given Him the reins of their lives entirely and serve Him with their whole heart out of gratitude for all He's done for them? You see, the question that we ask ourselves this morning, if we believe that Jesus is who we say He is that why do so many believers live Jesus plus when they should be living Jesus period? That's a tough question for us to answer as believers. So who do you say that Jesus is in your life today? You see, it would be wise for us to examine our hearts today and to make sure our actions line up with what we say that we believe. Because you see, the world is watching. Our friends are watching. Our family is watching. And we must make sure the Jesus that we present and say that we love and serve is one that is authentic and worth placing their faith in and having a relationship with. You see, in His earthly ministry, Jesus became to some a free meal. Read the story of Jesus. To others, Jesus was simply deliverance from sickness or demons. And to others, He was their way of escape from Roman tyranny. You see, many of these people kept Jesus at arm's length, just close enough to take care of their needs, but far enough away so there wouldn't need to be any real change in their lives. Many chose not to seek him for who he really was, just for what he could do for them. You see, we do the same thing, unfortunately. We want our spiritual cake and eat it too. We want him to save us from our sins, but not confront us with any other aspects of our life that would require change. We live in an age where many in the church call Jesus Savior and Lord, but compartmentalize him to Sundays and other significant, what we would call, religious events such as Christmas and Easter. He's been put in a box and allowed to interact with other parts of our life, not allowed to interact with other parts of our life. He's been kept at arm's length. We've asked Jesus to forgive us of our sins, so we're good now. You see, we've got eternity in heaven taken care of, we say, and now we'll just be on our way and continue to live our lives the way that we want to live, with little to no thought of Jesus beyond Christmas and Easter and maybe a few other moments in the year, you know, like emergencies or needs or some heartaches, or maybe we acknowledge him at weddings and funerals. You know the drill. Is that who you think Jesus is? Is that who you think Jesus is? If so, then you're so missing out. And folks, I'm not here to scold. I'm here to just bring some reality to what we believe who Jesus is. Who do you say Jesus is? You see, there's a scale between 1 and 10 on this, by the way. There's some of us whose needle pegs out towards 10, and we're all in. We're fully committed. We're growing and thriving a relationship with Jesus. We're pursuing him. We're prioritizing him in an ever-growing relationship with him. Some on the outside would call some of us Jesus freaks or radical Christians. I'm okay with that. They do place their faith in him as Savior. They do place their faith in him as healer. They do place their faith in him as provider. They do place their faith in him as comforter. They do place their faith in him as their constant companion. They do place their faith in him as their guide. They look forward to his imminent return, and they've committed their lives to him as their Lord. And I believe that that's the majority of the people here today. Amen? You see, if that's you, if you're an unabashed believer in Jesus, if you're a sold-out radical Christian, if you're not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, then I need to hear you shout a loud and thunderous hallelujah. 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 Amen. I knew I was in good company. I knew it. But, you know, then there's some others of us maybe that are watching here today that are listening in, whose needle kind of gravitates towards the one. They're the marginal Christians. They're what some people call creasters. Creasters. You know, Christmas and Easter, creaster. Yeah. They're the religious CEOs. You know, CEOs, Christmas and Easter only. CEO. Do the math, you'll figure it out later. By the way, if that's you, I mean, if I'm not going to see you again until Christmas, I just want to wish you a happy Memorial Day. I want to wish you a happy Mother's Day, happy Father's Day, happy 4th of July to you today, happy Labor Day, happy Thanksgiving, by the way, too, and I guess we'll see you at Christmas. You know, religious CEOs are too busy with life. They're too wrapped up in the world. They're too afraid to change. They're maybe too jaded and cynical about religion. I get that. Maybe they're too hurt from past experiences to give it another go. You know, they kind of love Jesus, but they kind of hate the church. You know, they kind of love Jesus, but they really don't want to kind of give up their pet sins. I mean, they kind of love Jesus, but they really don't have time for him. It's kind of like riding the fence, you know. I get that. These are the ones who come to church when it's convenient. They read the Bible out of guilt or obligation, and they're never really seen or heard of by the pastor unless there's an emergency of some sort. I get a lot of phone calls throughout the year, believe me. Oh, hey, hadn't seen you in a while. Yeah, I'm kind of going through a hard time right now, though, and I just wonder if you could give me some counsel. Sure, and then we have an opportunity to talk. You know, Jesus is just too intrusive in their lives, which is exactly why they don't want him too close, because truly, Jesus does intrude in a good way in our lives. So if that's you today, is that who you think Jesus is today? Is Jesus just hell insurance for you today? Is he just a religious commemoration like Easter for you to come once or twice a year to celebrate or to acknowledge? Is he just a box that you check off on your checklist of things to do? If so, I'm here to tell you that Jesus is so much more. Jesus is so much more than who you think that he is. You know, maybe the Jesus that you've been presented in years past has been a turnoff to you, and I'm sorry about that. Can I apologize on behalf of Jesus Christ? Can I apologize on behalf of the church? Can I apologize on behalf of all Christians that are authentic, genuine Christians? Maybe you've been turned off. Maybe he's either been too hyped up emotionally, or maybe he's been too bogged down in rules and rituals to make Jesus appealing to you. I apologize for that. Maybe you've seen too many religious hypocrites in your day, and you want nothing of that pious, critical, judgmental Jesus. And again, I apologize. I apologize for that. That's not who Jesus is. That is not a true representation of who my Jesus is. And I'm sorry that you've had a bad experience. But you see, if you've ever had an authentic encounter with Jesus, you know, not an emotional rush, or not a list of rules, not a hypocritical holier-than-thou Savior, but the beautiful, loving, powerful, real experience with the lover of your soul, the Son of God, the Creator of everything seen and unseen. That encounter will transform your life. You see, the Jesus that we celebrate today on this Resurrection Sunday is not a man-made religious statue or a far-off, unapproachable deity. He's just not. He is a revolutionary. He is a radical. He is a transformer. He's the most powerful, mighty, and awesome person the world has ever known and ever will know. He was the first and greatest real superhero that the world has ever known. Sorry, Superman. Sorry, Iron Man. Sorry, Wonder Woman. Jesus saves to the uttermost. He heals completely, and he provides abundantly. When the real Jesus shows up on the scene, nothing is left undone. Nothing is left untouched. Nothing is left unchanged. He has superpowers to obliterate strongholds, reduce chains to dust, and pulverize demons. Amen? Amen. That's the Jesus that I serve. During his 3 days in the tomb, he went down to hell and took back some keys that Satan thought were his for good. Is the keys to death, hell, and the grave. And Jesus holds those things now. He holds those keys to death and hell and the grave. Jesus has conquered death. Jesus has conquered hell. Jesus has conquered the grave for us so that through him we could too. Amen? But wait, we're not finished yet, because the book of Revelation gives us some exciting news. Says that one day Jesus is coming back for us, and he's going to take us to a place called heaven that he's preparing for you and for me. And when he returns to make things right once and for all, this all-powerful Jesus will merely just breathe out once, and all of Satan's plans, his armies, and his evil will be completely annihilated and wiped from the face of the earth for all of eternity. That's the Jesus that I serve today. I don't know about you, but I'm glad I'm on the winning side. How about you? You see, Jesus isn't some helpless, weak, suffering loser who had a few good moments, ended up badly, and then faded into history. Folks, it's just the opposite. Jesus changed the world. And just as he's all of these things, yes, he's radical, and he's revolutionary, and he's all powerful, he's our soon coming king, but he's also, on the flip side of that, completely approachable, so kind, so tender, so loving, and he's so forgiving. Aren't you thankful for that? You see, he's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Jesus loves you so much that he gave his life for you so that you might have a revolutionized and breathtaking life in him. Has anything ever taken your breath away? Jesus will take your breath away more than you've ever experienced any other thing. John 3:16 is a very familiar scripture for all of us. And I would love for you to all read this out loud with me together. Would you say, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." You see, that's what Jesus has done for you today. It's more than just a favorite scripture that we memorize and learn in children's church or Sunday school. Let it be something that just passes through our mind. I want it to lock into your heart one more time as it did back in the day when you first heard that scripture. You see, God so loved you, even if you were the only one, and no matter what you've done, he so loved you that he turned to Jesus, who was seated at his right hand up in heaven, and said, "Jesus, would you choose to leave the perfection of heaven and come to this earth, this dirty old sin-filled earth, and would you be the sacrifice, the final, once and for all, perfect sacrifice for my creation, for all of our creation, for these precious men and women, our sons and our daughters, these people that we created to have fellowship with, but that fellowship was broken when sin entered into their lives in the garden with Adam and Eve. Would you come and make restoration? Would you come and do that? Would you come and be the bridge? Would you come and take the place of their punishment? Would you receive it upon yourself?" And Jesus turned to God. And I'm sure he didn't look around, but I can just imagine if it were me, I'd look around and say, "Is there anybody else that would want to do that? Any other volunteers?" But you see, there could be no other volunteers because Jesus was the only one that was worthy. He was the only one that could do what I just described. Nobody else in heaven could. So Jesus stepped up and said, "Sure, I'll do it." Understanding all of the ramifications of what that meant, to leave the perfection of heaven and to come and live on this earth and to be spat upon, lied about, and brutally crucified on the cross. And he bore all of that for you and for me, so that whoever would believe in him, in other words, whoever would put their faith in him, whoever would say, "It's because of that you did that I trust in you as my Savior. And because I now trust you as my Savior, I get eternal life." You know, I think that's a pretty good exchange if you think about it. I've done nothing to earn that, and yet Jesus did it for me and for you just because he loves us. And that's why he did it. He knew that we couldn't do it for ourselves, and so he gave his life for us. So who do you say that Jesus is? Because you see, John 15:13 says, "Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends." Jesus chose to give you and me his life. Is Jesus to you a church service that you attend a couple of times a year? Is Jesus hell insurance to you? Is Jesus someone that you keep at arm's length and only engage when there's an emergency? Who do you say Jesus is? Who do you say Jesus is? Is he a religion to you today? Is he confusing to you today? Is Jesus unapproachable to you today? Who do you say Jesus is? Could you put that question up there and just let them look at that question while I'm asking? Who do you say Jesus is? Just put it up on the screen. Who do you say Jesus is? Keep it up there while I continue to talk, because I'm going to tell you who Jesus is today. Jesus is the greatest man in all of history. Jesus had no servants, and yet they called him master. Jesus had no degree, and yet they called him teacher. Jesus had no medicines, and yet they called him healer. Jesus had no army, yet kings feared him. Jesus won no military battles, yet he conquered the world. Jesus committed no crime, yet they crucified him. Jesus was buried in a tomb, and yet today he's alive and he lives forever. Let me tell you who my Jesus is today. Let me tell you, he's the Savior of my soul. Let me tell you who Jesus is. He's my mighty conqueror. Let me tell you who Jesus is today. You see, he's my wise counselor. Let me tell you who Jesus is today. He's my constant companion. Let me tell you who my Jesus is today. He's my abundant provider. Let me tell you who my Jesus is today. He is my friend. He is my strength. He is my guide. Let me tell you who my Jesus is today. He is my soon coming redeemer. Let me tell you who my Jesus is today. Let me tell you who my Jesus is today. He is my King of all kings. He is my Lord of all lords. That's who Jesus is to me. How about you? How about you? How about you? Who do you say that Jesus is today? As I close this out this morning, I want to finish up with an answer that is still found in our text. Matthew chapter 16, if you will go to verse 16 and follow along, Jesus asked the question, who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's who Jesus is today. That's the Jesus that I serve today. How about you? How about you? You see, Jesus so longs to have a relationship with you, folks, if you simply just ask him into your heart. Your sin is separating yourself from God, and nothing you can do can change that except one thing, just one thing, and that is to place your faith in Jesus Christ and his finished work on the cross. You see, the Bible says that all have sinned. The Bible says all have sinned, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We're all in the same boat today. Jesus knew that the only way that we could be restored to God was to leave the perfection of heaven and come to this earth and give his life as a perfect, sinless sacrifice for our sins. His death, what we commemorate, what we acknowledge, what we observe this past Friday, on Good Friday, when he died some 2,000 years ago. His death satisfied God's wrath. Jesus took the punishment of our sins upon himself so that we would not have to. He took our place on that cross. You see, I should have been on that cross. You should have been on that cross. Jesus took our place on that cross. He hung there so we wouldn't have to. He took the punishment upon himself so we wouldn't have to. Amen. Jesus knew. He knew this. He died for our sins and mine and shed his blood for us. So I want to ask you this morning, now that I've asked the question repeatedly, and I've actually even answered some of your questions, maybe even explored some of your hurts and your confusions and your pushback, I hope that maybe you're, as the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, you're saying, well, you know, I've really never given it that much thought, or I've never thought about it in that way. I hope that today, as you're listening today, whether you're watching online or here in this building, I want to invite you to ask him to forgive you of your sins today. On this Easter Sunday, won't you ask him to be the Lord of your life today? I want to just let you know today that there's no sin that you've ever committed that's too great. There's no depth that you feel like that you've gone so deep. There's no height that you feel like you've gone so high. There's no journey too far that you feel that you've traveled that God cannot reach you today, right there where you are. When you reach out to him, when you call out to him, you will be restored back to right relationship with God and enter into this wonderful new relationship, this experience of a blessed life in Jesus. You can have that here on this earth, not without trouble. I'm not promising you that, but in those troubles, Jesus will be with you. How many can testify that he's been with you through your troubles, right? None of us are exempt from troubles, but Jesus has promised to be with us through them all. So He'll be with us. We'll live a blessed life here on this earth. He'll be with us in our troubles, of course, and also we can celebrate victories and joys with Him. But one day, when we breathe our last, or when Jesus comes and takes us away, and that what you've heard about the rapture, which is the catching away of the bride of Christ one day, and I believe it's very, very soon. This may be the last Easter we celebrate on this earth. He's going to take us all to heaven, and He has a place the Bible says prepared for us that will blow your mind. So how does that sound? How does that sound? Yeah? Folks, it's the best offer in town today. It's the best thing out there. It's free for the taking. You see, the price has already been paid. And all you have to do is simply reach out and receive it. How many's ever gotten a Christmas gift? Just raise your hand if you've ever gotten a Christmas gift. You know, the idea is a nice wrapped up package with a pretty bow on it, and you're offered this gift. Now, what do you have to do in order to receive that gift? What do you have to do? If I'm going to give you a gift, John, what do you have to do? Just reach out and receive it, right? Yeah. I mean, I can just lay it down at your feet. You can say, whoa, what a pretty box. Oh, I love that wrapping. What a nice bow. And just walk away, not ever knowing what's inside, not ever applying it to your life, embracing it. That's what's happening today. There's a gift, and I'm going to give you a little spoiler alert. Guess what's inside? Eternal life, forgiveness of sins, a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what's inside. But you've got to open up the box. It's laying at your feet right now. It's beautiful. It's the best gift you'll ever get. You didn't have to do anything to earn it because you exist. God created you because He wanted a relationship with you. That's why you're here. Satan has other plans for you to take that away. But I'm here today to tell you that Jesus wants to restore that relationship that you need to have with God the Father that was broken because of your sin. Open up the box. Open up the box. Reach out and receive it. Won't you stand with me this morning? I want you to close your eyes and bow your heads. But I want you to imagine me right now walking up to you. In fact, not me. I want you to imagine Jesus walking up to you. Whatever picture you have in your mind of what Jesus looks like, that's okay. He can be a black Jesus. He can be a Middle Eastern Jesus. He can be a white Jesus. He can be older or younger. He can be skinny. He can be quite tall, short, however. Let Jesus be the Jesus that you have in your mind. All I know is that He's God's Son, that He died for you. It doesn't matter what He looks like. Just imagine Him standing in front of you. Close your eyes, bow your heads, and imagine Him right now giving you the most beautiful, imagine the most beautiful gift wrapped up with a beautiful bow. Now you imagine that and then put like times a million, because that's how beautiful this gift is. Whatever you can imagine, it's times 1 million infinity, actually, the most beautiful gift. And it's right there in front of you, okay? I want you to just imagine yourself reaching out. He's offering it to you, but He's not shoving it in your chest. He's not forcing it on you. He simply has it right there in front of you. And you have got to lift up your arms, reach out, and take that gift. Won't you do that this morning? The gift is there for the taking, but you have to receive it. It's not going to be forced on you. With every eye closed and every head bowed, I want to invite you to receive that gift. If you're reaching out right now to receive that gift, I want you to just lift up your hand and say, Pastor, I'm receiving that gift this morning. And we're going to pray a prayer. Yes, I see that hand. Anybody else? Yes, I see that hand. Anybody else? Just reach out and receive that gift. And we're going to pray a prayer in just a moment. A prayer to receive Jesus in our hearts. Is there anybody else at home? If you're viewing this, I want you to lift up your hand, even if no one else is there, as an act of surrender. Just say, I'm receiving that gift. And I want us to all pray this prayer right now out loud. Say, Jesus, I thank You for the gift of salvation that is mine today. I reach out and I receive it. And I thank You that I'm now saved. As You wash me clean of all my sins, and You come live in my heart and are the Lord of my life. Holy Spirit, fill me and make me what You need me to be for God's glory. From this day on, I will serve You, and I thank You that I have restored relationship back to God the Father because of what You've done for me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So the day after Christmas, or the week after Christmas, or the Sunday after Christmas, you usually kind of, if it's a piece of clothing, you usually put it on, don't you, and say, look what I got. By the way, this suit is not new. I know you didn't recognize me when I walked up. But you know, when you wear stuff from Christmas or whatever, it's like you want to show it off. So can I just encourage you today, show off Jesus. I mean, put him on, right? Put him on, right? Don't say, oh, what a nice package, and then just hang it up in your closet. Every once in a while, you open up your closet and say, hey, I remember that. That was a nice outfit 20 years ago, whatever. I mean, you know, put them on. Let's show off Jesus to those around us. Yeah, and let it be an authentic Jesus, not a emotionally hyped up Jesus, or a Jesus bogged down in rituals, and not a hypocritical Jesus that's all that. Let's just be Jesus, right? Loving. Let's just love people with the love of the Lord, and let the Holy Spirit just speak through us and just love on these people. And oh, just say, you know what? Jesus loves you, and I do too. Boy, that's appealing. You can win a lot more people over with honey than you can vinegar, right? So let's be sweet. Oh, this world needs some sweet, doesn't it? It's so sour out there. Come on, let's give God praise this morning for what he's done for us. Amen? Amen.